Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Novelist Emily St. John Mandel found out last week that she is a fiction finalist for the National Book Award. Her fourth novel, Station 11, set in the eerie days of civilization's collapse, Station 11 tells the story of a Hollywood star, his would-be savior, and a nomadic group of actors roaming the scattered outposts of the Great Lakes region, risking everything for heart and humanity. Emily will be discussing and signing her book tomorrow night at Odyssey Books in South Hadley, Massachusetts, and it's a great pleasure to have us have her join us this morning. Emma, good morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning. My pleasure.
And congratulations.
Thank you so much.
So what is it like to learn the news? For Morning Edition, of all places.
You know, I actually got a secret phone call the day before.
And oh, good.
It was the news was just incredible. The difficult thing was I had to keep it a secret until the Morning Edition announcement, which was awfully hard to sit on for those 24 hours. But yeah, it's just been wonderful. I'm so happy about it.
What is it? I guess, you know, it's one of those things that you don't, I assume ahead of time, you don't think a whole lot about. And yet when it comes, it's very nice. And then you just enjoy the moment. And then
absolutely.
After that, it doesn't, you know, it is what it is, and then you move on and have to work again.
That's exactly it, yeah. You know, it's something that I never expected, just because the odds are so slim of even being longlisted for any of these awards. So it was really never an expectation of mine. It was sort of, you know, in the wildest dreams category. Yeah, and, you know, it's a really lovely moment. It's such an honor to be on that short list, and you know, whatever happens, I'll always have this, I keep telling myself.
As I mentioned, this is your fourth novel. So does this novel has this always had sort of a special place, or do all your novels? I mean, is it a something where you look at it and said, I'm very, very proud of the work that I've done here?
I feel personally that my fourth novel is better than my first three. I've sort of always felt like that with each book.
You sure.
Know, I like my third book better than my second, and my second better than my first. I think, like anything, you just get better at it the more you do it. It's just the practice of years and years.
So what is it about Station 11, do you think, that's striking a chord with readers that people are connecting to?
I think it might be, and I should preface this by saying that, of course, I have no objectivity whatsoever about my own work. But, but you know, it's I've always set out to write novels with a high literary quality. I hesitate to use the term literary fiction because that's absolutely impossible to define, but also with a very strong narrative drive. It's important to me for the novels that I read to have a lot of plot to them. It's something I really enjoy. So I think it's possibly just that, you know, it's a literary novel, fall into that trap, but also with a strong plot. So I think that there's some appeal. People who think they only like quote-unquote literary fiction, you know, might like this, and people who also think that, you know, they're more into more thrillerish stuff, the stuff with a lot of plot, I think they might like this as well. It's also a really interesting moment in literature where it seems as though there's quite an appetite for post-apocalyptic fiction, and I've heard a lot of theories about why that is, and I'm not entirely convinced by any of them, but it is an interesting moment in that way.
What brought you to that place, to say, I want to look at these days after the collapse of civilization?
For me personally, it was a way of looking at the modern world. You know, this extraordinary place in which we find ourselves, where, you know, we're talking by phone from thousands of miles away. I'm in the Canadian Rockies this morning. Somebody walked into the room you're in this morning, flipped a switch, and it was flooded with electric light. I'm going to cross the continent later this afternoon in a matter of hours by airplane. These are all extraordinary things that we take for granted to the extent that we almost don't notice them anymore. And you know, one way to write about something is to contemplate its absence. So it seemed to me that a really interesting way to write about the modern world, this incredible level of infrastructure and technology that surrounds us, would be to write about its absence. So I set it in a post-apocalyptic landscape for that reason. And also because I just really like post-apocalyptic fiction. That was the other reason. I love The Road by Cormac McCarthy back in, I think it was 2006. A Canticle for Leibowitz was a classic that I read when I was a teenager. So I thought it would be interesting to try my hand at the form.
When you start to write about what the world is like after this time, how much of it do you want to be realistic, and how much of it do you say, well, this is my world and I can create it how I want it?
For me, it's trying to strike a balance between, on the one hand, not having something so implausible that it will jolt a reader out of the story, and on the other hand, not being too obsessive about weighing the reader down with details about, you know, exactly how this post-apocalyptic world works. I did do a bit of research into it, mostly by going to survivalist forums on the internet, which was exactly as unsettling as it sounds. There seems to be a fairly robust online community of people who live off the grid or are making preparations to live off the grid in anticipation of some future apocalyptic event. And those forums were unsettling to read, but it was kind of invaluable just to get ideas about the practicalities of it, you know, having to make your own soap, what it really means to live without electricity in the long term, that sort of thing.
I was interested, one of the things I loved about the book is the works of Shakespeare play a major role in the novel, especially Midsummer Night's Dream and Lear. Mm-hmm. Why those specific plays? Why King Lear and A Midsummer Night's Dream?
For a couple of reasons. So the play opens, as you know, but for the benefit of anybody who hasn't mm-hmm. read it, or the book opens, I should say, with an actor in the title role of King Lear dying of a heart attack on stage in the fourth act. And this particular character, who we revisit a few times throughout the course of the story, the book jumps around in time a little bit, it's partly just that he struck me as exactly the kind of actor who prepares and waits all of his life to be old enough to play King Lear. You know, he's intensely devoted to his art. He's also quite vain. He's been a little bit warped by fame and by the Hollywood machine. So it was partly just that Lear was absolutely in keeping with his character. And it's partly that, on one level, King Lear is a play about losing absolutely everything. And in the moment where this scene is set in the book, a devastating flu pandemic has just reached North America. And by the next morning, the news will be full of it, and within weeks, civilization will be beginning to collapse. But nobody there in the theater knows that yet. They're all kind of suspended in that moment, on the verge of losing absolutely everything. So it struck me as a good play for that moment in the book. And then A Midsummer Night's Dream. You know, I think what's easy to forget about Shakespeare these days is that it was popular entertainment. And A Midsummer Night's Dream, it just struck me as exactly the play that the traveling company of actors might perform, you know, when they come through a town in midsummer.
What's so much fun about this novel is there's so much going on, and to then see how it all fits together is just fascinating and beautiful, which I assume is fun in a puzzle sense to work it out, and also as a writer, kind of a pain in the neck.
Absolutely. Yeah, I really love the puzzle aspect of figuring out how it all fits together. That's a lot of fun for me as a writer. And, yeah, keeping track of all those moving parts is a bit of a pain in the neck. By the end of writing the book, I had this elaborate map that I'd put together in Excel with chapter headings, page counts, notes on who had the point of view where. And I was reordering those chapters and, you know, changing the order of the puzzle, you could say, right up until the very last moment.
Well, you will be discussing and signing your new novel, Station 11, tomorrow night at Odyssey Books in South Hadley, Massachusetts. So from the Canadian Rockies to the Berkshires and beyond. You can find out more information about the event by going to odysseybks.com. Odysseybks.com. It's tomorrow night. It's a part of their First Editions Club and their wonderful bookstore, and it'll be a terrific event tomorrow night. And again, you can find out more information by going to odysseybks.com. Again, the name of the novel is Station 11. Emily, thank you so much for being with us. It's a great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you. It was a pleasure being on your show.
Thank you very much. Emily St. John Mandel is the author of the new novel Station 11. We'll be at Odyssey Books tomorrow night in South Hadley, odysseybks.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.